ज्ञानतिमरन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
So today we're talking about how to prepare oneself for chanting. This may sound contradictory in a way, that because the instruction is kirtaniya sadahari, always chant. But it should be done in the proper state of mind. And especially these shikshashtakam prayers are important to cultivate before chanting the holy name of the Lord. And the mind has a tendency to concoct. And therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that the mind is manogatan, which means it's a mover. It continues all the time in concocting and coming up with ideas for what might be better than what I have right now. I may have a perfectly good sweater on, but my mind then says, you know, you need a better one. You need something different, a different color, perhaps a different shade. That's why it's possible for companies to sell every shade of sweater there is, because the mind then jumps from one to the next and says, oh, this isn't right for me, I need a different color, and so forth. Sadhus, typically, they pick one color and they stick with it, because that way they don't have to think about it so much. This is the nature of the mind, to be restless and want to go from one form of sense gratification to the next. And prajahati yada kaman sarvan parta manogatan atman yiva madahatushta stita prajnasta dochite. But Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that a person who is a stita prajna becomes satisfied in the self. And actually, this is an instruction given by Narada Muni to the Prachetas. One of the ways to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead is for oneself, is to oneself cultivate satisfaction. In the face of the concoctions of the mind, which is like a machine that just keeps putting out more and more images for me to examine and say, wouldn't you like this? Wouldn't you like a little different combination or permutation than you have now? Stita Pragya is satisfied with something different from that, with the experience of being conscious. And so one must have that as a goal in order to come to this position of feeling satisfied. And before chanting japa, for instance, one must realize that the machine is running. What is that machine? That machine that concocts all kinds of ideas about what I need that I don't have right now in front of me. And because if you don't turn the machine off, or at least observe that it's doing what its job is, and which is to come up with unlimited concoctions for material desires, then while you start to chant, you'll also be distracted by these things. And another result can be that if you chant and you also desire these things, then the holy name is called Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. It fulfills all your desires. So what is the result when you have all these material desires and then you're chanting and think, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that? Then the unfortunate result of that is that you'll get all those things. And in fact, as we were reading the Brahma Sanhita, the personality of Saraswati appears before Brahma. Uvacha puratas tasmai tasya divya Saraswati kama krishnaya govinda he gopi jani ityapi valabhaya prayavanir mantram te dasati priyam tapastam tapa etan tavasiddhir bhavishyati. She says that this mantra will fulfill all your desires, and also you can attain perfection by chanting the mantra. And in the purport, the Acharya says that the holy name, the mantra itself, it fulfills one's desires. So if you have material desires when you chant, it will help you attain those. And if you want Krishna, then it will help you to develop this proclivity to run after him, which is what we're after, for our mind to actually chase after Krishna. And this is the actual definition of pure devotional service, that upon hearing about him, the mind runs after him. Can you look up the verse, please? You know which verse I'm saying? A Kapila Dev. A third canto. It's right after the section where he describes devotional service in the three modes of material nature. And so, remembering, studying the Shikshashtakam every day is an important way to prepare one's mind. The Shikshashtakam is a set of prayers, and by studying them, analyzing them, they're very dense. And there is a commentary by Bhaktivinoda Thakur about the prayers, these prayers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's not that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually sat down and wrote these prayers, but he, according to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in ecstasy of remembering Srimati Radharani in the spiritual world, he uttered these various prayers, and they were compiled in this way. You'll see at the very end of the Antyalila how they're put together by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. First of all, we have to realize before we begin chanting that we are cleansing our consciousness. We are cleansing the mirror of the heart. And this must be our goal throughout the day. The bhakti yogis are very careful not to let anything enter into the purview of their vision or their hearing that will recontaminate the mirror. And one will then have extra work to do. Because there are many kinds of contaminations that can enter in and then cover the mirror. So Cheto Darpana Marjanam, we're aware of the fact as we begin chanting that we're cleansing the mirror of the heart. And Bhava Maha Davagni Nirvapanam. This means that when I was in Denver, I should get a video of this because I didn't memorize the whole thing. I just watched Adoria Leela Dasi show me one time how they do in their school there. They teach the kids, they memorize all these things. Do you all know this? Teaching the kids, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam, Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam, Vidya Vidhu. There's a whole pantomime that they do. So the kids can actually learn the meanings of each one of the words, you know. So this Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam means that there's a way in which I'm burning in this world. In fact, Prabhupada's godbrother, Sridhar Maharaj, once said that it was like a chain smoker, that somebody's smoking a cigarette, and then as soon as it gets burned down to the bottom, they take out a new cigarette and they light the old one off the new one off the old one, and then they start smoking again. And in that way, they can stay smoking all day long. So this is samsara. You finish one, the body burns itself out, and then you start another body. It's chain smoking. So there's a way that we're burning in this world. Bhava Maha Davagni Nirvapanam. But this chanting process is meant to extinguish this forest fire of material existence. And what comes in its replacement is this cooling moon of the holy name. And that brings all good fortune. We have no idea in this world what good fortune is because it's a place of reversals. The forest of enjoyment is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam where a man thinks, I'll get my fortune in life by going into the forest, and there he gets lost, and then he's constantly harassed by all kinds of living entities, and he suffers dearly in that forest. And whatever appears to be good fortune is actually just a setup for another disappointment in this world. But when actual good fortune comes to a person, he begins to experience this, the rays of the moon of good fortune that enter into his or her life and one begins to feel this new stimulation through which we see even those who have so much going for them in the material world, you think, why would they give it up? But the Goswamis of Vrindavan, Tyaktvatunanamashesha Mandalapati Shainim Sadat Tuchavat, they considered all these, the wealth they had, the connections they had, the power that they had, to be Tuchavat, which means insignificant. It becomes insignificant in the light of the reality of the real thing. And so one should be aware when I'm chanting, when I'm beginning to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that this is everything. Another, that is, one's mind should be fixed on one's highest prospect, because generally the mind wants so many petty things. Give me this, give me that. But doesn't really consider them carefully. What is the end result of owning these kinds of things, or actually obtaining them? What will really happen when I get them? It's like a little child doesn't care, just wants to grab everything, and this one, that one, this one, that one, this one, and put it in its mouth, and doesn't consider what's good or bad for him or her. So the mind is like that. So we should fix our prospect. Fix the idea of what is our highest prospect in life before we start chanting, and realize that by this chanting process, with attention, attentive chanting, I'll come to the highest position of life. I will cleanse the mirror of the heart. I will extinguish the fire of material existence. I will then also be bathed in the moonshine of the great moon of good fortune, and the white lotus of fortune will open in my life. So all these things, the mind, when it believes, when it cultivates these ideas and understands that all these things are possible just by chanting the holy name of the Lord, will then be attentive. So this is a very important point. In order to be attentive, we have to know what's in it for me. In other words, you can be sitting in a crowded room and you hear so many voices talking, and it's just a cacophony, it's just a din, but it's nothing very interesting until over way in the corner you might hear someone say your name. They're talking about me, and then immediately you tune out everything, the conversation you're talking here, all the other voices, and you can hear very distinctly now all the way in the corner, what are they saying about me? Because ultimately, as Shukadev Goswami says in the 10th canto, when he's speaking to Parikshit Maharaj about Krishna's pastime of Brahma stealing away the boys and calves, that everyone wants to know one thing: what do I get out of this? What's in it for me? Everyone's self-interested in this world. So if we understand, if we cultivate this idea of my highest good is available through chanting the holy name, if I have a firm belief in this, then the mind may cooperate. Then you can, through intelligence, convince the mind, don't run away, stay for this. You're going to get something out of it. This is an important aspect of paying attention while one is praying, especially praying through chanting, through the repetition of the Hare Krishna mantra. We're repeating God's name over and over again, after all. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And this actually connects us directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Directly. There's no separation at all. For those who enter into the chanting with this clear understanding of what it is and what one's benefit is from chanting the holy name. So Mahaprabhu begins in his Shikshashtakam with giving this, it's benefits-based marketing. He begins by telling us, what are all the benefits? Cheto dharpana marjanam bhava maha davagni nirvapanam shreya kairava chandrika vitaranam vidyavidhu jivanam. You'll get all knowledge from this also. Don't think that by chanting you're missing anything else. It's the wife of transcendental knowledge. She's right there. So you chant Hare Krishna, you can't be without knowledge and everything else. All opulence is available for chanting the holy vidyavidhu jivanam. Anandam buddhivardhanam, what we're always anxious for, that happiness, it's in the holy name. Believe it, cultivate it. You have to hear it over and over again, because then the mind the next day will say, no, it's somewhere else. Let's look around. Let's look around a junk pile and see if we can find some scrap there. But again, these prayers are meant to bring us back to understand it's there, it's there, it's there. Believe it, look for it, search for it. Keep focused on the chanting. It's there within the holy name itself. Pratipadam, Purnam Rita Svadanam, Sarvatma Snapanam Param Vijayate. My godbrother was once telling me, he was very vigilant. I saw him every day when I visit him. He's in Bangkok when I was passing through. I'd stay at his home. Very serious about chanting his rounds every day. He would get up, take his bath, and sit down in front of his deities. And he would just sit there the whole time and chant his 16 rounds very methodically. And he was telling me his experiences with chanting Hare Krishna. It's nice to talk to other devotees. What is your experience of chanting Hare Krishna? And he would say sometimes he has this taste when he's chanting, and other times he said nothing coming at all. And then he said, like, one day he chanted his 16 rounds, and he was thinking, why? I can't have anything. And then he finished his morning duties, went out of his little temple room in his house, and then he was putting some laundry in the little, you know, Asian washing machine. And then he said, right when he stepped out onto the veranda and he was putting laundry in the washing machine, immediately he looked at the world as completely different. He felt this happiness and detachment, satisfaction. And he realized then, it's all there. Sometimes you realize it right away, you'll realize it later on. And if we had the commentary of the... Oh, I do on my laptop. Anyway, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur talks about the holy name in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in relationship to Ajamil. And he said the holy name will manifest his munificence in due course of time according to his own schedule. Don't try to rush it. It's just like a fruit on a tree, he said. When you grow a tree, it takes its time. And it takes a while for you got to put it in the ground. You've got to wait for a few seasons before, and then the fruit comes out. And it doesn't come out all juicy right away. It comes as a little tiny, first a flower, and then a little tiny, whatever it is, a little tiny, little round thing. And then it starts to grow, and it takes some time with the sun and the rain and all the air and all the, you know, everything all put together hanging on the tree for so long, and then it becomes ripe. And so when we're chanting, we also have to realize that there's a period of time we have to be patient for, and the holy name can come at any time. And in fact, in that commentary, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, the Lord manifests his munificence through the holy name in the life of the devotee in his own time scale, and he has different motives for doing that. It's all for the good of the devotee, but sometimes he withholds it for some time. Sometimes people get it quicker than others, but sometimes he withholds it to the very end of their life, in fact. So don't give up. Wait for it. Okay, you know, you got to wait for the holy name. So you have to be patient, and that requires reminding oneself over and over again that this is all available for the holy name. When you get medicine from the doctor, you may not experience the improvement. You may not feel any improvement right away. But if you have faith in the doctor because he's treated many other people, so you get these recommendations for a doctor. It's a, you know, so many people told you, no, I went to, it's fantastic, you know, he cured me. It's like, because there's always some skepticism in going to a doctor that this isn't going to work. And then everyone says, you know, that stuff doesn't work. That's quackery. You know, you're not going to get anything going to a doctor. And everyone has their own cure and their own doctor and so forth. But if you're fortunate enough to find a good doctor and you hear the recommendations over and over again, so many people he's cured, then at least you can have a little faith in the doctor and say, okay, I'm going to try, because he's cured so many people. He's got a diploma on his wall. He's got a nice office. He doesn't smoke. There's so many things. And then you go in and take the cure. But then you have to be patient, and you have to keep taking it and understand that this is my only hope. So we get a prescription for the holy name, and in this prescription, at the beginning, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was mercifully telling us all the things, the benefits that are going to come from chanting Hare Krishna. So cultivate those. Remember what they are. What is the benefit of having a cleansed heart and extinguishing the forest fire of material existence? Nothing else will do that. And how does one come to be associated with the wife of all transcendental knowledge through this chanting? The light, the white lotus of good fortune opens in one's life. Everyone wants that. Everyone's praying in that way. So remember these things constantly. Cultivate them. And then comes the next verse, which is that the Lord's name has personal shaktis. And while chanting Hare Krishna, we can remember that this is Nija Sarva Shakti. It's the God, it's the Lord's personal shakti is there. So we're connecting directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a very intimate way through saying his name over and over again. In fact, I was reading recently how in previous ages, although the great sages knew the efficacy of the holy name, they were afraid to chant it because of making offenses, because of letting their mind wander and thinking that, you know, there's something else more valuable. And then how offensive is that? That the holy name is personally present on my tongue. I'm saying the holy name is like, nah, go watch television. Or whatever it is, even back then when there was no television and there were sages sitting in the forest, they were afraid of subtly offending the holy name by not being present, because Nija Sarva Shakti is fully present here. And you can just think, ah, it's nothing, and then walk away. And what an offense that is. It's the root cause of all offenses, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this inattention. Like, here's the holy name. Nah. 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 Not interested. So they were reluctant to engage in that direct process. But in the age of Kali Yuga, there's such a severe situation, and that now Mahaprabhu comes and he says, okay, here's the really strong medicine. We're bringing it out. And I'm going to protect you, because now in this age, you have to have this strong medicine. You're so fallen, you're going to be distracted every which way. You take this now. You take this holy name now. And in the age of Kali, it's the only thing that will save you in the age of Kali Yuga. So he's bringing out this point. Nam, nam, akari, bahuda, nija, sarva, shakti. It's all in there. All the powers of the holy name. There's so many names that can attract your mind, just as there are so many colors of sweaters you can be attracted to. Okay, so there's millions of names of Krishna. You can go through them all and become attracted to these different names. But then he says that, I'm so unfortunate that even though this is the strongest process, even though it's been brought directly by Mahaprabhu in order to save us, and give us a dispensation that your only qualification in the age of Kali is that you're so unqualified, we have to bring the heavy medicine, and we're not going to consider any of your offenses. That I'm so unfortunate. Durdaiva means, just like I'm star-crossed. Durdaiva means there's the demigods are messing with my head. So I can't be attracted to this. Somehow or other, something's gone haywire in my mind, and I can't take this. I can't even take the medicine. So what am I going to do? So that comes out in the next verse, which is here's how to solve that situation. You have to do this, at least this, in order to be able to have traction in your chanting, and that is you have to consider yourself... And this is according to the reality of the situation. Come to your senses for a moment and consider the reality that you're as low as the grass, and that you should cultivate this, and you should also feel that yourself to be very tolerant, like a tree. Tolerate. So I was reading another devotee named Shraddha, who's a disciple of... what's his name, the great scholar who writes all these books in ISKCON? I mean, he was in Philadelphia, and now he just moved to Washington, D.C. Bhakti, Rabindra Sarup Prabhu's disciple, Shraddha, who's his secretary. You know, she picked out and put on her blog this article written by a monk in the Catholic Church, and he was talking about how... He was talking about not taking for granted what you have. Oh, and tolerating that you may be in an institution that people are doing things you don't like and so forth, but still you have to learn tolerance. That even though you're in an institution meant for glorifying God and making advancement in devotional service, there's a way in which you can become challenged in so many different ways. People are always got different ideas, always conflicts and so forth. So you have to be tolerant. And so you have to learn tolerance and then also practice this point. Nirmana moha jitta sangha dosha adhyatma nitya vinivritti kama dvandvarva mukta sukatuka samjar kachantya mudha paramavyayam tat. This is a prescription. It's written on a little doctor's pad in triplicate. And say, here, there's powerful stuff here. You take this medicine now. Trinadapi sunichena, nirmana moha jitta sangha dosha. Don't get puffed up. Don't get puffed up. Don't be intolerant. Practice this tolerance and be ready all the time. This is your medicine. Be ready all the time to give respect to others. And don't take respect for yourself. It's poisonous. It destroys the ability of one to really call out to the holy name and to get what we're really looking for, which is sanctuary at the lotus feet of the Lord. Real sanctuary only comes through sincerity. I was thinking the other day about how fast life is moving. Someone called me and said that one of Nirkula's brother's daughters is graduating from college. I couldn't believe it because it just seemed like 2 days ago they were at our house and she was a little baby screaming in our house and screaming at me. And now graduating from college, and I just see how things are zipping by, you know, the whole life zipping by, and everything moving. You can't hold on to anything. It just goes away by its own power, moves on its own power. We don't have any control over it. And there's only one thing that's actually holds its own in all this movement. It's sincerity. It's the one focal point. It's the one thing you can hold on. It's the one thing that's really yours that nobody can take away. Nobody can. It can't be changed by anything. It's your own sincerity, which is the freedom Krishna has given you to use your will to turn your attention towards Him. It's sincerity, and to freely acknowledge your dependence on Him and so forth. Submissiveness, sincerity, these are all the greatest ornaments of a living entity. One who has these ornaments can go anywhere at any time, any place, and be welcomed, actually. Because everyone else is at conflict, is in conflict with every other living being, because everyone wants to be recognized. And if you're not eager in being recognized, immediately everyone notices it. Oh, okay. This person's okay. They can come in. Everyone else like, hey, you sit over there. We're going to watch you for a while. We will make sure you're not going to take our position and so forth. So one can't overcome this durdaivam, this unfortunate situation in life by being, by practicing these points of being feeling oneself lowly, of being very tolerant. And that also, it's just, this is the most satisfying of practices, and that is the very practice of being satisfied. You can observe it on a moment-to-moment basis because the mind will always be spinning and grabbing out for more things. I was just noticing it because I read this verse about satisfaction, and I really love this concept of how you can please the Lord by being satisfied. Be satisfied, Krishna says, yadrishya labha santushto, of gain that comes of its own accord. So it's like the mind says, I want this, you got to go to the store, you got to get it on Amazon.com, you got to do get a credit card, you got to get a newer credit card, you got to get something. And it's like, why do I got to get anything? I just be satisfied. That'll solve all the problems right there. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to get a new credit card. How about if I'm just satisfied with gain that comes of its own accord? Just let the game come to you. Let it come. And then be satisfied with what you already have, which is so significant that if one can realize that, one doesn't actually have to go anywhere or do anything. In fact, one isolates oneself from all these, the barrage of desires and other kinds of sense objects that can come into one's purview. One becomes resistant to actually letting the mind out to entertain them, because he knows that starts a whole suite of other possible implications that will take me down a road that will leave me stranded. And as Shankaracharya writes in one of his prayers to Lord Nrsingadev, then the highwaymen of my senses. Don't you hate highwaymen? Did you ever meet any? You get held up. When I was a kid, my parents used to take us down to Mexico for Easter vacation. We'd pile in our Volkswagen microbus, because my parents were good, intellectual academics, so they had to have a microbus. And that, so we get in our Volkswagen microbus and we drive down to Mexico. We were through Mexico. I remember one time we got stopped on the road. We were in the middle of nowhere, which is really dangerous, actually, driving with your kids through Mexico. I was like, what were you guys thinking? And were you trying to kill us or what? You know, we got stopped by this guy with a gun and the other guy with a sword. And, you know, we had to pay him off. And then we went on. We didn't get killed or anything like that. But it's like highwaymen. They're just waiting there. You never know when they're going to rob you. And in India, too, we said during Kartik, it hasn't happened recently from what I know, but about 10 years ago, I remember some devotees were leaving Radhakund on Bahulashmi, where a million people come to bathe in a pond that's about twice as big as this temple room all at one time. And so then, on the way home at 1 o'clock in the morning and stuff like that, these highwaymen, they'll put it, this is interesting, you're going to go like this about highwaymen. They put a log in the middle of the road, and then, you know, you're just driving in the dark in some crummy ambassador car or something like that 10 years ago. And then, you know, you have to come to a squealing, screeching halt with the crummy brakes and the tires with no treads. And then, you know, out from the bushes come all these guys with guns. And they shot in the window. They hurt some of the devotees. They took all their money. And, you know, they tried to get away. And it was a big, you know, traumatic experience. So Shankaracharya said that the highwaymen of my senses, they grab me, they rob me, they throw me into a pit. And I'm just stranded down there. So devotees are very careful about this. This verse helps protect us. This prescription, take this prescription home. Don't go down these roads where the highwaymen are lurking. The roads of the senses. The senses, hey, come down here. This is going to be really interesting. No, it's not. It's not. First of all, it's not going to be interesting. Punak punas charvita charvananam. Prahlad Maharaj says, it's not interesting. Tell your mind, this, I'm not interested because it's not interesting. It's all been done before. I did this. I went there before and it's not interesting. That's Maya's trick. Say, it's interesting. No, it's not interesting. Not interesting at all. There's something much more interesting. What was that?
Been there, done that.
Been there, done that. It's all been done and more. Hansapriya? Yeah, the invisible hook for the fish. And I was telling at Google the other day, some of the people had heard of Charlie Brown. Have you heard of Charlie Brown? Charlie Brown was a Peanuts. You ever heard of Peanuts, the comic strip? Charlie Brown is the hero, so to speak, the anti-hero of the comic called Peanuts. And one of the scenes in that I described the other day at Google, which some people had heard of, because you can relate to this. It's me. You know, hey, that's me. That's why people like Charlie Brown. It's like Lucy, who is his nemesis, she always brings the football, an American football, and then puts it in. Part of football is, you know, someone holds the football and then you have to kick it, right? And so, you know, she'd come out and hold the football and say, Charlie Brown, come kick the football. And then Charlie Brown would go, no, I remember last time, as soon as I came to kick the football, you pulled it out and I landed on my head. He said, not this time, Charlie Brown. And then so he goes, okay. And he finally get his courage up and he come running to kick the football and then she'd always pull it out. Lucy was like that. That's just what she does, you know. And so that's what Maya does too. Maya's like, come here, come here, come on. No, try it again, you know. It's like, okay, all right, all right. This time it's like, whew, boom, right on the head. So, you know, for one to, those who are engaged in this process of bhakti, the sincere prayers, they cultivate this idea, there's nowhere else to go. I have no other refuge except for you. And this is medicine. This verse 3 is the medicine. It's the medicine. In fact, it's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that by Kaviraj Goswami that one should wear this around one's neck. You have to make a garland of it. So on the way home, you have to stop at, what's the name of the place? Michael's? Okay, go to Michael's. Or if you have the yarn barn, there is no yarn barn, but if there was one, you could go there too. And you could get some thread. You got to get your own thread. Go to Michael's, get yourself some thread, and then string this as a garland when you get home. And look at the jewels that are in this verse. These are each jewels that will actually make you wealthy. Counterintuitive to the materialistic mind that wealth comes from working hard. No, it doesn't. Lots of people work hard and they don't get anything except for, you know, more work. And their boss takes away some of their colleagues and says, okay, you're fired, but you do all their work for them, right? That's what you really get in the material world. You don't get anything really. And then, so these are the real jewels in life, Vishakha.
I just remembered this quote that I heard from Radhanath Maharaj. He was saying that estimate how rich you are by counting the number of things that you have that money cannot buy.
Oh, that's perfect. Estimate how rich you are by how many things you have that money cannot buy. Yes, Sundar Ananda Prabhu.
I have a question, Prabhu.
Yes.
So, first of all, we have heard, at least I have heard this verse so many times, but this particular mood doesn't seem so natural in the sense that it doesn't seem to come very naturally. And my second part of the question is...
What's the question? That's a statement, that question.
So what should we do to... you know, are there things that we can consciously do to imbibe this particular mood?
Well, one thing is get around people who can straighten you out. That really helps. If you get around a crowd, an easy crowd, or a crowd that's not interested in this, then you may not be so inclined. But if you can get around somebody who will straighten you out regularly, it really helps. It's the fast way to come to this feeling of I'm really low, is to get chastised by somebody you really respect. And you can see they're advanced. If they say something to you heavy, then really quickly you can feel Trinadapi Sinechina and how beneficial it is. Because as soon as you get chastised, then you can feel like, wow, I'm really lowly, it's really hard to take, but then you feel like, wow, I can really chant now. So try to get chastised, you know. And really, that's, you know, that's why you seek, you know, such association, is to really, you know, get that. That's really something that you can do that's practical.
Also, by thinking of gratitude journal.
Doing?
Typing gratitude.
Gratitude? Write a gratitude journal.
Yeah, that helps because, if you honestly write, then... we understand our position, and when we offer gratitude, we are able to appreciate the presence of Lord and the devotees in our life. That helps us to
stay humble. So what thing would you put on your gratitude journal today?
I didn't write. I mean, I don't write regularly, but in the past, whenever
I... what thing would you put today?
Yeah, if I write today, I would put... I would basically count the fortunes in my life in the sense...
give us one.
Like the association in the temple, hearing from you.
Okay. Hare Krishna. So, that's a nice point, a gratitude journal. Think of very specific things you're grateful for. Yes?
Yeah, I mean, in the course of our conversation, I also realized that many times Krishna also reveals our shortcomings, and when we are chanting and doing devotional service, suddenly it hits you that, you know, I have a lot of shortcomings. I think that also brings out that particular mood.
Seeing your own shortcomings.
Shortcomings.
Yeah, that's helpful.
And one more question I had was, Prabhu, is this a particular effect of our sadhana, or it's consciously cultivated and it...
Well, you have to think what sadhana is. Sadhana is not mechanical. And that's partly the purpose of this topic, is that our sadhana, our practice, it shouldn't be mechanical. We should really carefully observe. In the Shastras described the practice of manana. Manana means to look very carefully. It says last weekend when I was with Tushta Prabhu and Vrindasundari, they were talking about how they had just read Satchinandan Swami's book in the section about manana, which is self-observation. You have to look very carefully. Take time to... It's different from prayer. It's a kind of looking at your own consciousness and seeing what's really in there. And looking with a view to spotting offenses. And you'll see in the prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Amara Jivana, he's talking about his faults, that I'm very fallen, lowly living entity, that I have this envy burning in my heart. I'm always averse to topics about the personality of God and so forth. Just Raghunath Das Goswami also, he writes in the Manakshiksha, a prayer to the mind, but it's a kind of a manana, where he's observing the state of his consciousness, and he's saying what's really in there, and being very careful to note all the subtle aversions he has to the holy name and so forth, and to other devotees and to devotional service, and the offenses that he's committed and so forth. And this kind of observation is the real sadhana. If we just practice without thinking about what I'm doing and so forth, then as the Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Kaviraj Goswami says, you can chant for millions of years in an offensive way if you don't take time to observe yourself and how your consciousness is actually situated. But if you're careful, then if you're observant, then you try to rectify it in a practical way, then you'll make progress. You'll actually make progress. Yes. Oh, yeah. Go ahead and then Pratibha. Yeah.
So this is regarding your comment, Prabhu, where you said don't be puffed up and, you know, don't be intolerant, right? So a recent event that happened, I could relate to this, you know, comment. For example, Donald Sterling, right, if you know who he is, right, he had like everything going on, and then within like 48 hours, the tables have turned on him. So it's very important that, you know, you be grounded, especially in profession or whatever you do. So,
yeah.
Thank you.
That's true, yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, like you were mentioning about manana, so, and when last time when Giriraj Maharaj was here, I had asked a question that how, when we progress, why do we get the disappointment that the more I progress, the more I feel that, no, I'm falling behind, I have so much far to go, how am I going to do it in this lifetime? But somehow or the other, like either you read something or you hear some lecture, and one word will be a ray of light for you in that phase of disappointment when we are going through our crest and troughs, even our spiritual life, that you would feel that, oh yes, this is it, I'm in the right path. And as long as that's the case, then what is, like you say it, like what is the value of a million lifetimes in eternity? So,
yeah, nice point. And we need encouragement. And also, we should consider, and it's a fact, we're eternally students. It's not that I come to a point and I say, now I'm good, I've made it. In fact, the moment one thinks, oh, I'm perfect, I'm pure, then, as Prabhupada said, one's a rascal. Giri Ashmar said that also. Said, this is the sign of a rascal. I'm a pure devotee. You're a rascal. A pure devotee's thinking, I'm so fallen. I'm unworthy. Even Prabhupada says Srimati Radharani's thinking like that. What is my qualification to approach Krishna? And so there's this, you know, eternal quest for refinement, which is the most worthy and interesting of all occupations, trying to improve one's service. There's never a point at which I say I'm done. As my Madhunga teacher says, as soon as you think that you're finished, you're finished. I'm good. You're not. You're now. You're really bad. You know, it's like be sad. If you're satisfied with where you're at now, then there's no hope for you. You're not going to improve from there. So this kind of it's simultaneously you have to be dissatisfied and satisfied at the same time. Because if you get too dissatisfied and become despondent and think, oh, I can't do this, I'm so fallen. Some people say, I'm not chanting. Why? I'm too fallen. It's a fact. A lot of, and the mind can convince us of this. People even kill themselves. It's like, oh, you know, you got a perfectly good human body and so many things. The mind will say, you know, like, you're no good. Kill yourself. And it's like, all right, that's not a good idea. Don't do that and don't give up your practice. But at the same time, you know, we should be very observant of what our internal state is and see how can I refine it.
Guru Maharaj, the mind which you were talking in the initial part of the lecture when you started, you said that the mind distracts us constantly, so we should notice this and switch off the box. I have a basic question on the mind. The mind is one of the so many, we count them, right? The earth and then subtle body. And God creates the mind.
What is what?
The mind is one of those elements. That God creates. Uh-huh. Is that correct? Or because I was wondering, if the mind by its nature was constantly contemplating on all the diverse options that are available, I'm always thinking about what else can I do? Is this the natural state of the mind?
Well, the mind can be the best friend or the worst enemy, Krishna says in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So the mind that's addicted to sense gratification is the worst enemy, but the mind, and can I have that verse? That becomes attracted to hearing about Krishna becomes the best friend.
So by nature, it is diverse. It's always searching.
Well, the mind is an instrument, and it's like a reflective surface, like a mirror. That's why it's described as a mirror, darpanam. And Bhagavatam. Sorry, that one's probably good too. The mind's a reflective surface. And so when it's distorted because of contamination by the three modes of material nature, you have ignorance that affects the mind in a certain way, and you can read in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita about how the mind, which is affected by various modes, it reacts in different ways. Like one's determination, which comes from the mind, is affected by ignorance. And that one's determination is dreaming. I'm thinking about doing it. People who smoke ganja, that this is how they think. It's like, yeah, someday I'm going to start a business. And it's like, that was 20, you said that 20 years ago. It's like, I know, but you know, it's like, I'm thinking someday I should do it. And then there's the mode of passion, and then the mode of goodness. The mind, the reflective surface is affected by these modes. It's colored in different ways. So it reflects our consciousness. In various ways. But when the mind is clear, then we can see our clear consciousness, which is part and parcel of Krishna. So the mind has to be cleansed.
Even if the mind is cleansed, what I'm trying to understand is the mind still going to be looking for ways to serve Krishna like it did for the material option?
Then when it becomes your friend, then it becomes attracted to serving Krishna, yeah.
So it will think of multitude of ideas, it will keep throwing up things.
Then it will think of all kinds of ways to, you know, and it's all related to Krishna, right? So the mind is a material instrument, actually. And according to Sankhya, it's counted in all the elements, right? So it's an external feature of the material energy, but it's part of the apparatus we have, but it can be purified. And then, iha yasya harera dasye karmana manasa gira nikila apyavastastu jivan mukta su uchite. One can be a liberated soul even while living in the body, even with the mind, because it becomes purified. And this verse, which Mukharavind Prabhu pulled out, and this is not it, by the way. Let's see. No, that's not it. No. I mean, I do want the Gita, but not right now. Can you find the verse that is... he's describing the three, sorry, I can't remember it right now. He's describing, what is it? He describes devotional service in three modes of material nature. There's devotional service in ignorance, passion, goodness, and then transcendence. And then he describes what is the nature of that. Okay, so this is one point I wanted to bring up, how important the Shikshashtrikam prayers are. And they only get deeper and deeper. Every day one can study these, but go into them. Don't just say it. Like, if you go to some assemblies, you know, after the morning program, that's okay. But go into the prayers and see what's actually in there. What does it mean to you? How can you use it to come closer to Krishna and chanting the holy name? Look at these things. They're given. They're perfect. They are perfect. And they are fully useful. But you really have to use them. And that's real sadhana. Take them very seriously and find out what's in it for me spiritually to make advancement in my sadhana. And then, yeah. Okay. This is it. So this verse describes, this is from 3:29, 11-12. This is a very important verse which is given, which is quoted by Rupa Goswami and the other acharyas, describing what is the state of the mind when it becomes purified. And you can see this for yourself. This is why it's so important. If you're operating this machinery and you're a sincere sadhaka, you must understand what are the symptoms of your advancement or not. And the verse says, Madguda Shuti Matrina Mai Sarva Guhashaye Monogatir Avichchina Yata Gangam Basom Budao Lakshanam Bhakti Yogasya Nirgunasya Hyudaritam Ahaituki Avyavahita Yabhakti Purushottame. The manifestation of unadulterated devotional service is exhibited when one's mind is at once attracted to hearing the transcendental name and qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is residing in everyone's heart. Just as the water of the Ganges flows naturally down toward the ocean, such devotional ecstasy, uninterrupted by any material condition, flows toward the Supreme Lord. While I'm reading the purport to this, could you please get me 4:20:31? Here's the purport. The basic principle of this unadulterated pure devotional service is love of Godhead. Madguna Shuti Matrina means just after hearing about the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And bring over a nectar devotion while you're at it too, please. These qualities are called Nirguna. The Supreme Lord is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature, therefore he is attractive to the pure devotee. There is no need to practice meditation to attain such attraction. The pure devotee is already in the transcendental stage, and the affinity between him and the Supreme Personality of God, it is natural and is compared to the Ganges water flowing toward the sea. The flow of the Ganges water cannot be stopped by any condition. Similarly, a pure devotee's attraction for the transcendental name, form, and pastimes of the Supreme Godhead cannot be stopped by any material condition. The word avichchina, without interruptions, is very important in this connection. No material condition can stop the flow of devotional service of the pure devotee. The word ahetuki means without reason. Thank you, sir. A pure devotee does not render loving service to the Personality of Godhead for any cause or for any benefit, material or spiritual. This is the first symptom of unalloyed devotion. Anyabhilashita shunyam, he has no desire to fulfill by rendering devotional service. Such devotional service is meant for the Purushottam, the Supreme Personality, and not for anyone else. Sometimes pseudo-devotees show devotion to many demigods, thinking the forms of the demigods to be the same as the Supreme Personality of Godhead's form. It is specifically mentioned herein, however, that bhakti, devotional service, is meant only for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, Vishnu, or Krishna, not for anyone else. Avyavahita means without cessation. A pure devotee must engage in the service of the Lord 24 hours a day without cessation. His life is so molded that at every minute and every second he engages in some sort of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Another meaning of the word avyavahita is that the interest of the devotee and the interest of the Supreme Lord are on the same level. The devotee has no interest but to fulfill the transcendental desire of the Supreme Lord. Such spontaneous service unto the Supreme Lord is transcendental and never contaminated by the material modes of nature. These are the symptoms of pure devotional service, which is free from all contamination of material nature. So this is the Chaitodarpana Marjanam symptom. And as you become purified in your practice of devotional service, you can see for yourself how I'm interested in Krishna Katha. If you start to have a hankering to hear Krishna Katha, this is a sign of spiritual health that is very relishable, because then you don't have any other obligations. You know, the knowledge comes with it that this is everything to me. This hearing of Krishna Katha contains everything. It is everything. It's fully satisfying. I don't need to go anywhere. I don't need to do anything else. And there's full satisfaction in that. And so as we're improving in our spiritual health, tada rajas tamo bhava kama loba dayaschaye cheta itera navidam stitam sattve prasidati. One becomes situated in sattvagun and then starts to feel the transcendence breaking through, that one is actually interested in hearing about the qualities of Lord Hari. Itam bhuta guno harihi. His qualities become very interesting to the mind. And not just interesting, then fascinating. Fascinating means that you're fastened to something. That's what fascinating means. You're connected to it intimately. And then you develop an affinity, which just means there's like this loving affection for it. This connection, you feel one with it and so forth. So measure by this means primarily how much you're advancing in devotional service, and try to cultivate this through purifying the mind and intelligence. Now, as far as preparing oneself for chanting, there are various prayers which are important. And here's a prayer which is by Prithu Maharaj on 4/20/31, which I will recommend as a prescription. Try this prayer, print it out, say it before you begin chanting, memorize it, and think about it very deeply before you chant the holy names. And you'll see an immediate difference in the way you're thinking about your chanting when you begin to chant Hare Krishna. And the verse says, "My dear Lord, due to your illusory energy, all living beings in this material world have forgotten their real constitutional position, and out of ignorance, they are always desirous of material happiness in the form of society, friendship, and love. Therefore, please do not ask me to take some material benefits from you. But as a father, not waiting for the son's demand, does everything for the benefit of the son, please bestow upon me whatever you think best for me." Whatever you think best for me. Samahitum means please act on my behalf. So this is a kind of permission giving to the Lord that I don't know what's right for me. I'm only interested in bad things. Let's just take that for granted. I'm an illusion. Whatever I ask for is wrong. And someone the other day wrote me a letter making so many plans. And she analyzed in her letter, she said, "I realize now that none of my plans have ever worked out." So he's saying, "I'm thinking about taking a different course in life. I'm taking a higher instruction. Let me try a different way. What's best for me spiritually? I'll take that plan." And so that should be our focus, how to find that. Other plans don't work out. You're not going to be successful making a plan. No one ever has. It's zero to a trillion to the trillionth power in the material world that everyone's failed in their plans here in the material world. So don't think, "Well, I'm going to be the one who's successful." This is the optimism of the mind that keeps one in the material world. It's like, I'll be successful. Even though everyone else has been defeated, I'll be the one who makes it. This is the little jiva against material nature. And Krishna says to remind us, "Daiva hi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya." It's too much trouble. Please don't try for this. It's too much strain on you to fight against the material nature. Just give up and take my plan. Prapadyante, surrender into my plan and take my system. He said, then it's very easy. then life's very easy if you take my plan. No problem that way. So this prayer by Prithu Maharaj is something you can integrate into your practice and just say, my Lord, I don't know what's good for me. You know what's good for me. Therefore, I'm going to chant with an open heart, and you please show me and I'll take it. This is sincerity, and this will protect one in any situation in the material world. It's our constitutional position. And when we act in our constitutional position, we're like a fish that goes back in the water. And the fish on the land, you can give him a credit card. You can give him a Facebook. Yikes. You can give him a car. I don't know, what else can you get these days? Is there anything that's actually you can get anymore? Can you get anything anymore? What else can you get? You can get a house. Give the fish a house. And you can give him a, huh? Give the fish an iPad. Give fish the little fish Google Glass. But fish are happy when you put them in the water. They're so happy. You just drop them in and it's like, okay, I'm a fish. I like the water. So the soul likes to be in this constitutional position. It's Krishna, it's up to you. I'm surrendered to you. Manasa deho geho yo kichu mor. That's my mind, my body, my home, myself that belongs to you. Just give it up and say, yourself that belongs to you. This is the process of what's called sweet surrender. What's sweet about it? It's just nectar. You just flow into the land of Krishna, I'm yours. And I don't have any other agenda in this world except your agenda. And then what do I have to worry about? You're backing me up. And and I heard the other day, Prabhupada was talking about, if you surrender to Krishna's plan and saying, I'm just working for you, then if things go wrong, that's Krishna's. Of course, he also clarified other times that you don't botch things because of being lazy or inattentive and then say, oh, Krishna's mercy, that's his. You take it on your head. But Prabhupada was pointing out this very important thing, that if you're surrendered to Krishna, whatever way it goes, you know, if you sincerely gave yourself to that plan of Krishna's and your spiritual master, then the result, that's not yours. You're not worried about it. So try this prayer, and this will prepare your mind in a very powerful way for chanting Hare Krishna. And may I have the first canto of the Bhagavatam. I'll take Queen Kunti, Janmai Shraya Shruta Shri Bir, Edamana Madapuman. Hansapriya. Manasa deho geho yo kichu mor arpilun tu apare nahit shior. Yes, Hari Vamsha, and then up to Vital.
As you were talking about the plans, I was just hearing in a lecture, and the speaker was telling, well, we all go for insurance plans, and we go about making insurance so that, you know, after we leave our body, somebody gets the money, and we think that we are protected, but in the hindsight, we are actually not protected because we have to give our body to, give somebody else the money. And he was telling that Krishna has the best insurance plans because he will make sure that our consciousness is right and that is not destroyed.
Yeah, and I was just reading in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita how if you're attached to the fruits of your labor, then the results of that will accrue after death. So not only, you know, do you miss the insurance money, but you also get the result in the next life because you're attached to it. So he said somebody who's unattached to the fruits of their labor has nothing to suffer or enjoy in the next life. You leave a clean slate. It's a nice point, the insurance. Yeah, Vital.
You're talking about satisfaction and about having... about the prayer here where it talks about surrendering to Krishna's plan, right? But how does one distinguish? How do I distinguish what is my plan, what is Krishna's plan? For example, right, in a practical thing, job, right? Should I actually, if I have the desire that, okay, I should get go for a higher paying job, would that be, if I don't do it, is it satisfaction or is it laziness? Or is it my plan or is it Krishna's plan?
So. Depends what you want to do with the money. So like I know one devotee has been writing me and he's like, he's trying to get the most, the highest paying job he can because he plans on giving the money. And he said, I want to make more money because he said, that's my main service. If that's your main idea about making money, then the point is, anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam, that you should decide, whatever movement you make in this world, decide based on what's best for my service. And if something's not favorable for your service, then you should reject it. And you should decide based on sadhu, shastra, and guru. You should have these three points in your life where you have somebody heavy enough in your life that you can go to them and say, what do you think I should do now? And then you should know that it's in the shastra, and then you should see what have other sadhus done. And you get inspired by that, and you move in that direction. And then adjust accordingly. As you move forward, you'll see, okay, I need to adjust a little more to the right, a little more to the left. It's not final. You find your way through life in all these different ways. Okay? It can be done. You just need sincerity and then say, I'm going to take the instruction from the Sadhu Shastra Guru. That's what all advanced souls do. They look at it really carefully. I mean, look at Maharaj Dasarath. When he was told, you know, give up your son. And Vishwamitra Muni came and said, I'd like a little charity. He said, sure, whatever you like. Your son is like, oh, no. And then, so Vashishtha finally stepped in and said, look it, you know. First of all, your son's God. That's one thing. And the other thing is that this is Vishwamitra Muni. You don't want to cross him. Third thing, this is all the plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so you should do it and stuff. And even though it was a very hard decision, that's hard. Then, you know, he said, okay, go ahead. If he'd gone the other way, it would have been a disaster, but he took all these things in. So it's not that everything's going to come to you easily. It'll come in very difficult ways. And typically these decisions are hard to figure out. They're very subtle, this way, that way, this way, that way. Do the best you can, but base it on a sincere desire to follow the Lord's instruction. Shastra, follow Shastra. What does the Shastra say? If it's in there, do it. And sometimes, you have to make the best use of do the best you can according to time, place, and circumstance. Don't misuse that either. Because that time, place, and circumstance, time, place, and circumstance, you can do anything you want with time, place, and circumstance. You have to be careful, and that's why you have to check your sincerity. Why am I really doing this? Why am I really doing it? Vishakha?
I have a question, Prabhu. I heard somewhere that a devotee is not able to make rapid spiritual advancement because he has this fear of surrender. What if I give too much of myself to Krishna? And thinking, about the prayer by Prithu Maharaj, 420-31, I feel it's not easy all the times to actually pray that way, Krishna, do what is best for me. Because when we read that verse, it's very encouraging because it's we have a feeling that, oh, Krishna will do whatever is best for me, which will be always good. But we never know, because the best could also not be according to what we want, or it may not be the best for our material situation. So I'm still not, maybe it shows my lack of surrender, but I'm thinking how to really be convinced or
That's
take this to heart.
How to do that? You have to become materially exhausted. That's the answer. If I'm materially exhausted, then it's easy, because I give up. And you just decide, like, I'm not doing this anymore. Roberto Duran, round 12 against marvelous Tommy Hagler. And he just took the towel. He was a great champion. You know, he had everything riding on it. Everyone, all his countrymen were watching, and like, he wanted to be the big hero. But then he realized, I'm beat. This guy beat me. I can't do this anymore. He took the towel, he threw it in the ring, and he said, no mas. Those words, no mas, really effective. No more, I give up. I'm materially exhausted, I'm not doing this anymore. I had this experience in my life when I was doing my business, and I put some good energy into building my business because, you know, I'm a householder and I wanted to do that. And besides, I had this feeling like, oh, I could probably do anything if I put my mind to it. And, you know, I was working very hard and diligently on building a business. And one day I was talking to somebody on the phone and he was arguing with me, some customer type person. And then this whole feeling came across my whole being that I'm not going to do this anymore. It was like Roberto Duran, no mas. And I had this feeling, I'm not going to use any more breath or the muscles in my tongue to convince people to take something, to buy something that's not a set of Bhagavatams, or that's not, you know, I'm convincing them to surrender to Krishna. Because it's a waste for me at that particular time. I'm not saying don't do business, that's not my point. This will come at every particular time, and you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Prabhupada was in business. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur did his, it was a high court judgment thing. But I'm just giving you my experience. It was visceral. It came through to my whole system. And I realized it right at that moment. As soon as I hang up the phone, my business is going on a way back burner. And then whatever happens, fine. That's okay. So it was a point of material exhaustion for me. That was real exhaustion. I can't do it anymore. No mas. So until you have that feeling, it's very difficult to go the other way. You know, when you have that feeling about everything in material life, then it's like, I'll do it as my, whatever my duty is, I'll continue to, but my heart's not in it at all. I'm exhausted with it. There's nothing in it for me, and I'm not interested in doing it. I'm materially exhausted. Then one can chant with sincere feeling. As soon as if there's a little tinge of optimism about the material world, well, maybe, you know, if I just get those shoes, you know, those red shoes, I'll look so cool. And, you know, I'll be the center of attention. And, you know, if I have some money and, you know, those shoes, then I'll be cool. But no, he just, Shukadeva Goswami was naked. He's like, I don't care anymore. I just don't care anymore. And then it's your life becomes, it's transformed into a different situation. It's, I care about something else. You want this? No offense or anything like that, but I got something else I'm doing. I'm more interested in.
But Guru Maharaj, all these situations that you're talking about are talking about better to accepting from a point of wanting more to a point of being satisfied. But the concern with most devotees with this kind of a prayer is that, first of all, we're not ready. Material fatigue, I feel, comes much later in life. First you get emotional fatigue because you invest and you don't get anything back. Or you get things back and they're never enough. And you realize that this whole relationship, because I don't know, maybe it's a woman, so I feel that way, that all these relationships are just like a water on the top, underneath, you know. I mean, Krishna's handling it. But we think we're there, you know, we're controlling the water, we're in the boat, we're rowing and we have some control over this, but we don't. And we realize that this is flowing water. We are not able to hold on to anything. You know, I watch the child grow up and these realizations come. And an emotional fatigue sets in that, you know, I'm holding on to things I can't hold on to. I'm not getting much when I'm investing so much. And I invest so little and I get so much back. I'd rather productively invest it somewhere else. But these kind of prayers linked with this concept that we are taught from senior devotees and when we sit in lectures, that Krishna always tests you before he gives you something more, always brings up a negative feeling in the heart that, you know, am I ready to be tested? Do I want my kid to fall sick or my husband lose his job or me to fall, you know, something else, for me to learn something more about Krishna? Am I not satisfied where I am right now? Can I not be left in peace? That is that, as you said, attachment to the material world that triggers that thought. A little bit of self-analysis over the hiccups that we've had and how much Krishna has helped us does guide us. We tend to see and realize, yes, though we suffered, Krishna brought me one level more. It does tell us, but there's that fear. Can you explain that fear?
Well, we didn't get to that prayer yet. Oh. That one's, that prayer, Queen Kunti says, let more calamities come. We're not even asking for that yet. We're just saying, I don't know what to do. You know better than me, so you decide. I mean, that's a preliminary stage. But I, just in a practical way, we have to, by increments, but find where you can surrender now. Find that place, that tiny little place right now that fear that you're facing, whatever it is, you don't have to do something that's beyond your means. You'll just, if it's artificial, you'll come right back to where you were anyway. But find out what it is that you're afraid of right now, or whatever it is you're attached to, and deal with it in a small way. Even the tiniest triumph, the tiniest victory in being introspective and offering it to Krishna can bring one a momentum which will carry one to the next level, the next level, the next level. And that's all you can do is all you can do, but all you can do is enough. And that means that act in the position you're in now, surrender to what you can now, and then you'll get more impetus to do more, because it's sweet surrender. It's not bitter, actually. The mind says, this is bitter, it's going to be bad. But it's the other way around. When people actually become free from material life, read all the prayers in the Bhagavatam, and go, what was I thinking? I was just trapped and being trounced by material nature, and now I'm free, and so forth. So become encouraged by them. Yes, Mataji.
I'm Anasa. I just wanted to add something on satisfaction with the material world. Are we trying to satisfy ourselves, or are we trying to satisfy something that the society has defined as satisfaction?
That's a good point.
Because that is where we fail. We are trying to satisfy someone else and not ourselves.
Yeah, I don't even know what myself is. And I take it that some kind of social norm is, you know, I should live up to this level of satisfaction. Another concoction of the mind, right? Nice point. Thank you. So now I'm going to read this last prayer and then we'll stop. But this prayer is very powerful, and it gives a clue to how one can actually pray clearly. And this is 1:8:26 in the Bhagavatam. And Queen Kunti says, Janmaishvarya Shruta Shri Bhir Idamana Madakpuman Naivarhat Yabidatum Vai Twamakinchana Gocharam. My Lord, your Lordship can easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. So, Akinchana Gocharam, one who is easily approached by the materially exhausted man. So, before chanting, just divest yourself. You can do this even before you've come to some lofty level, so-called. You're already at a lofty level. You're engaged in the process of chanting Hare Krishna. So before you start your daily practice of chanting, take a moment, fix your attention inwardly, and think about, what do I actually have that's valuable? And realize that I don't have anything. I come to this state of feeling helpless, in the sense that I can't breathe without the help of the Lord. As Satyadeva Prabhu says, I'm not breathing, I'm being breathed. You can't stop. It's a machine. It's a ventilator. You're on, you know, like in the intensive care. The breathing just goes on. The heart keeps pumping. It's a very good source of remembrance of this. You know, if you lie on your left side and you can feel your heart beating, and I have no control over it. It can stop at any minute. It's going on by some higher power. And then experience that about your entire being, that whatever you have, whatever situation you're in now, it's a gift. Like, good for your gratitude notebook. It's just, I'm being sustained, and I have nothing. I have no real say in it. Whatever I have is going to be taken away. And make yourself open to the holy name, that I'm helpless. Kinchana, I have nothing. And that you can actually do as an exercise, to look at yourself and realize that I'm helpless. And that this idea of security is an illusion. The money, it's just numbers on a screen, really. Whatever you have now, it's you're imagining, I'm imagining that I'm protected by my all the plans I've made, all the money I've made, all the kinds of situations I'm in. The mind is in this constant state. Let it go. before chanting and realize I'm helpless, and then begin the holy name. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then we can actually get, we can chant with feeling, Queen Kunti says. Then we can chant with feeling, and that's really what we're asking for in our prayers. And we have a couple texts, and then we'll end.
So this one is from Rajesh Prabhu in Saudi Arabia.
Jai.
Hari Bol, Jai Guru Maharaj. Thank you for this wonderful class and for the tips and medicines to concentrate while chanting. I like the points of what's in it for me and being satisfied.
Nice. Those are two we can live on, yeah.
And the other one is from Agandharvika Mataji. And she says, Danvats, thank you very much for the practical points to rekindle our desire to chant with attention. While it's easy for the mind to do physical service of cleaning and cooking, etc., it is very difficult for the mind to develop love for chanting. I'm sure that by referring to these lecture notes again and again, and by referring to Shravanadi Jal email tips, it's possible to convince the rebellious mind to remain focused. Thank you.
Thank you, Gandharvika. Hare Krishna. And thank everyone. We thank everyone who's joined us online today. Hare Krishna. Everyone who came all the way here to this beautiful space that Lord Krishna has provided for us to worship Him in. And it's such an important point to sit down together and go through these things and hear the vibrations. And now we can take it out and utilize even one point, take it and apply it very carefully to your own chanting and see the result and then bring it back and share it with everybody else. Thank you very much. Gaur Premanande Haribo Vancha Kopatirubhascha Kripa Sindhavi Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha.
Natchari Armarman, Natchari Armarman, Natchari Armarman, Hey, Natchari Armarman, Natchari Armarman, Natchari Armarman, Natchari Armarman.